In the U.S. Senate, the battle over judgeships gets nastier by the day. Although the Senate has confirmed 126 judges in 2 years, Republicans are infuriated that two lower court judicial nominations have been blocked by filibuster. So the Republicans propose to change the rules. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
A little history is in order first. At the founding of the Republic, and for more than 100 years thereafter, any one senator could prevent a vote. It took the unanimous consent of all senators to cut off debate. The Founding Fathers conceived of the Senate as different from the House, less democratic, with big states and little states having the same number of votes, with terms longer than the president's, and with a minority able to play a significant, even decisive role. Rutgers Professor Ross Baker is a historian who specializes in the Congress.
In the Senate, there is an empowered minority, and there's no better token of that empowered minority than the filibuster, which gives a minority of senators the ability to obstruct. And this is something that I think the framers of the Constitution were very much in favor of.
The idea, as George Washington put it, was that the Senate would be, quote, the saucer into which the nation's passions may be poured to cool. In 1917, though, the Senate changed its rules to allow a cutoff of debate by a two-thirds vote. And in 1975, the Senate reduced the number needed to cut off debate to three-fifths or 60 votes. Now, Republicans are proposing to change the rules again, asserting that there is a judicial confirmation crisis. GOP leader Bill Frist has introduced legislation that would allow a cutoff of debate ultimately by a simple majority vote.
If we do not fix it now, filibustering nominations will become a new Senate tradition.
Rules Committee Chairman Trent Lott said he favors that change.
What we have witnessed is what I consider to be a hijacking of the Senate's constitutional responsibility to advise and consent on the president's nominations.
Lott said that in his view, a minority should not be able to block action except in situations that are specifically enumerated in the Constitution, such as ratification of treaties. He said that if the Democrats aren't stopped now, 60 votes will become the de facto number needed for confirmation. Democrats ridiculed the notion of a confirmation crisis. Minority Leader Tom Daschle noted that the Senate has confirmed 126 of President Bush's 128 nominees thus far.
That's a 99% success rate. Now, the alternative is to say we aren't satisfied. We want a 100% success rate. We want an absolute guarantee that any president, under any circumstances, can be assured he will get a vote on his nominee. If that doesn't make us a rubber stamp for any administration, Republican or Democrat, I don't know what does.
Democratic Senator Robert Byrd, who has served longer in Congress than all but two senators in American history, was yet more pointed.
Let us be clear about what is driving this hearing and indeed this resolution. The President of the United States is dictating to the Senate what should be its procedures and its rules.
Democrat Christopher Dodd added that if the GOP proposal were to pass, it would diminish forever the Senate's power in relationship to the executive branch.
If we cede power to the executive, I don't think we'll ever get it back.
Republicans have not played their cards close to the vest on this matter. They've openly discussed what they call the nuclear option if the Frist proposal fails, which it almost certainly will, since it takes a vote of two-thirds to change Senate rules. So the GOP is talking about having Vice President Cheney, in his role as President of the Senate, overrule the parliamentarian and decree that under the Constitution, a simple majority can cut off debate on presidential nominations. That enrages the Democrats, who call it nuclear blackmail. Not so, said GOP Senator Rick Santorum yesterday.
This is retaliation. Now, that may not be the right thing to do, but to suggest that we are firing the first bomb here, I think, is misstating what is actually occurring.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.